Well, I'd like again to welcome each one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and ask that you would prepare yourself even now. Say a prayer for our brother as he would present this message and for yourself that you would hear it. And won't take any more time as we're already running late, so I'll give you our brother, Elder Andy Brown.
Thank you, Adam. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here this day. And I'm always interested to hear what the sermon's going to be about. I do have some thoughts this day. Some of them are kind of tangled, so please bear with me. I was thinking of this opportunity I would have for the last week or so, and several times a vein of thinking came to my heart, and so I hope and pray that I can communicate that to you this day. I'd like to start this morning in the 12th chapter of Romans. And I just want to read the first three verses. The first three verses. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given me unto me to every man that is among you, that you think of yourself, that ye not think of yourself, of himself, more highly than ye ought to think, but to think soberly, according to as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. As I've read this scripture numerous times, probably many times from right here in this spot, but this morning I really wanted to think upon a couple things. Over and over again lately, I've been called back to the first verse of this 12th chapter, that we present ourselves acceptable to God. Something that I don't think our society is teaching us. You know, that in society today, we set the standard for ourselves. And if we set it for ourselves, then it's good. But that's not really true, is it? Because here the Apostle Paul tells us that we prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we prove that. And we prove that by His Word. That we look within ourselves and ask ourselves the question, you know, am I traveling in a course that is acceptable to God? Is the things I'm doing in life, you know, are there things there that I need to repent of? Are there things in my life that I need to change? I ask you to think upon these things as we go through our talk this morning, that the Lord is calling us to make ourselves acceptable to Him. There was a president in our recent history of our country that made a statement, and this is probably the only statement I know that he made. I just don't know much about the man. It says, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And for some reason lately, this thought has gone through my mind over and over again, but not in regard to our country, but in regard to the body of Christ. In regard to how we deal one with another and how we view ourselves. Do we view ourselves a member of the Church of Christ? Oh, good, I'm glad I'm a member there. They can help me. Which obviously we need to help one another. But in our heart and our goal, our thought needs to be, what can I bring? What can I do? The older I get in life, and my wife made a comment to me the other day that this is not necessarily a good thing, but much of my life falls into two categories, asset and liability. Am I an asset to those around me or a liability? You know, we find ourselves different stages in life. You know, we need help. I've been there, you know. I lived in Brother Hubert's house for some time. Okay. But because I was able to do that and he was able to help me in that way, one of the reasons I'm here today, you know. And so there's stages in our life that we're going to be the liability. That's just the way it is. We're young or we're sick or whatever the case may be. But the goal in our heart needs to be that we're an asset. And when I'm saying that, I'm not talking about dollars and cents. I'm talking about what you bring to the body of Christ. What you bring to this room. What you bring to your brothers and sisters to encourage them in the pathway of righteousness. To encourage them to live well, to do right, to serve God, to seek out His will in their life. You know what? And I find that you can do that in most any stage in life you're in. You can do that. You know, my wife was laid up for a few weeks with her knee surgery, and you know, it didn't stop her from calling people and talking to them on the phone or on the internet or watching the live streaming. Or you can still be of benefit to those around you. But it's a choice. It's an attitude. It's a way that we have to look at our part here. Let me look at something right quick. If we jump down, I wasn't going to read this, but we jump down to the fourth verse. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." There's many members here, you know. My truck breaks down alongside the road. I usually don't call my wife. I call Isaac or Jesse or Gary or somebody and say, "Hey, what should I do now?" Okay, because that's what they do. That's what they know, you know. If someone gets a water leak or the roof's leaking, they may say, "Hey, can you come over and look at my roof, you know? Can you come help me solder this pipe, huh, Jesse?" We soldered a bunch of pipes under his cabin this last year up there. And, you know, because that's what we do. What do we bring? And I'm not just talking physical. That's just an example of the physical things. But do you come in tune with God's Spirit? When you see someone struggling, are you aware? Spiritually, are you aware that you can reach out to them and lift them up? So I kind of changed this little saying that this president was famous for. You know, ask not what the church can do for you, but what you can do for the church. Ask not what the body of Christ can do for you, but what you can bring, what you can do for the body of Christ. You have a place. You have talents. You have a portion, you know, a part. Lately, by the end of the day, I've been walking around for, you know, 12, 14 hours, and I got a little problem with my foot, you know, and it starts bugging me after, you know, 8 or 10 hours on my feet. And by the time I get home and get to bed, it's not really painful. It just is kind of frustrating, you know, and it's just kind of bugging me. Well, that's just two of my toes is all that bugged me. And that's a part of my body I give no thought to until they start bothering you, you know. And same way with us. You know, if I lost those toes or all those, I'd have a hard time walking. And each one of us have a place here. So don't feel like you don't have a place. This morning I had an opportunity to talk to some brothers and sisters and I talked a little bit about passing on a legacy, a heritage, that we have a heritage in the gospel of Christ. You know, and I look here in this room and I see a lot of young people. And that's awesome. That's great. But I want you, as young adults, as young people not married or just married and have young families, to begin to view yourself differently. And this just really dawned on me a few months ago when I was talking to several different young people. And I'd ask them, "Well, how do you kind of view yourself?" "So, well, we're the church of tomorrow." "We're the church of tomorrow." "I disagree. I totally disagree. You're the church of today. Take your place now. Don't wait until you're as old as I am, or till you're 30-something, or till you're 40-something. No, you have something to bring now. Take your place now. Whether that be bringing something to potluck or helping clean the church or helping someone who's sick. You know, it's not just your mom or your grandma who can go help someone sick. You can go too. You know, at whatever age, once you get to be a young person and can think and know what's right and wrong, you have a place. You're a part of the body. Might be a little finger, but you're still a part of the body. And you need to take that place. Ask not what the body of Christ can do for you, but ask what you can do for the body of Christ. If you leave here with nothing else today, I want you to leave with that. Asking yourself the question, what's my part? Where do I fit in? And not just ask it, find out. Seek. See a need, fill it. And guess what? There'll be another need that you can fill. And another. That's the way this works. I got way too many scriptures. Let's look right quick in Mosiah in the 9th chapter. The 9th chapter of Mosiah, verse 57. I want no one is allowed to laugh. This is a sad day. I said no one can laugh. Verse 57, it says, and he also commanded them that the priests whom were ordained should labor for their with their own hands for their own support. And that there was one day in every week that was set apart that they should gather themselves together to teach the people and to worship the Lord their God, and also as often as it was in their power to assemble themselves. And the priests were not to depend upon the people for their support, but for their labor they would receive the grace of God, that they might wax strong in the Spirit, having a knowledge of God, that they may teach with power and authority of God. And again, Alma commanded the people of the church that they should impart of their substance, everyone according to that which they had. This is terrible. If he had more abundantly, he should impart more abundantly. And if he had little, but little should he receive. And to him that had not should be given. And this they should impart of their substance, of their own free will and good desire towards God, and to those priests that stood in need, yea, and to every naked soul. And thus he said unto them, having been commanded of God. And they did walk upright before God, imparting one to another, both temporally, spiritually, according to the needs, their needs and their wants. If that's not a real pain, I'm here to tell you. In these verses, we see that we're really to labor for our own support. Whether we're a minister or whether we're whatever place in life we are, we're to labor for our own support. But in the end of that reading, we see there where he says that they're to impart of their substance, of their own free will, and that they walked uprightly before God and imparted to one another temporally, spiritually, according to their needs and their wants. So I'm not only talking physical. You know, recently, as most of you have noticed, there's been a change in the restrooms back there. And hopefully that'll get finished up here in the next little bit. But that kind of thing costs money, doesn't it? Huh, Gary? Doesn't cost a lot, but costs a little money to do that. We have desires and things we want to do for the church in the way of fixing or building or whatever. It costs money. It costs money. And if it's important in our life, I find I got money for it. I think, man, I don't have much money right now. Man, I'm thirsty. I'm going to stop and get a Dr. Pepper. I always, almost always have money for Dr. Pepper. Well, that's obviously a luxury item. I could live without Dr. Pepper, in spite of what some of you may think. We have money for the things that are important to us. You know, there's been years that I wasn't working and wasn't doing too good financially, but when it came time to put in for hunting, somehow I scraped the money together. Somehow I scraped the money together in hopes that when it came time to hunt, I actually was working. We have money to do what's important for us. This sermon isn't about money. I don't even have one word about money written down here. But when we're talking about taking our place, somebody's got to pay the light bill here. Somebody's got to pay for the restrooms. You want to add on? You can add on. I think I mentioned before, I got a friend of mine that I work with, good fella, a Hispanic guy, attends an all-Hispanic church, the Light of the World, it's called. Actually, it's got a great big long name, but I don't know what it is. And they took an endeavor here a couple years ago to build a new church. All these folks are either illegals or legals, but they're laborers. They don't speak Spanish very well. There's probably a few that are have better jobs, but most of them work in construction. I've met a lot of them. They come do work for me. $3 million. That was the endeavor. $3 million. This handful of Hispanic people made up their mind they're going to raise $3 million and build a church. You drive by it when you're on the I-10 interloop down there, just off the 17, big silver dome, not quite finished. That's our church. It's 5 stories tall, got a basement. The basement's all done, sheetrocked. Of course, they're doing 90% of the work themselves, because they have carpenters and plumbers and electricians and drywallers and concrete guys. My point is, it really doesn't matter who you are. It's what your desire is. If we desire to do something as a body, then we need to get behind it. I'm going to say something that I wasn't planning on saying. You know, Adam's worked hard on this bathroom back here. And he and I, and it was not just him, there's several guys have been here a lot of hours. And Adam suffered a lot of frustration because he's not a plumber. He's not much of a drywaller, but he has a goodly desire to do it, you know. And we've worked a lot of hours on it. And I know a couple of myself and a couple other guys have voiced our opinion. You know, I wasn't for the change in the bathroom. Okay. But I'm here to tell you, if this body votes on something, I'm behind it. I'm with you. Okay. And I think that we need to have that attitude. I don't always have that attitude. I had to sit down and talk myself through this. But it's okay. I'm good with it. I'm already in a habit of going around. It's no big deal to me. Okay? I see the value in it too. Don't get me wrong. I just wish we could have put a bump in the church there so we could walk around that way. But the point being is, whether it's this or something else, if we vote to have a building fund, if we vote to have add a steeple to the church, I don't care what it is, that as a body, we need to be behind it. We support one another. We're a member, not just an arm. Just an arm can't get much done without the rest of the body. So keep that in mind. Just because you may not be wholehearted for something may mean you have to open your wallet up and support it anyway. It may mean you have to give your time, because that's the direction we're headed. You know, sometimes we don't feel like doing something. But if I'm walking down the street and I see a brother or sister that needs some of my time, they don't need anything physically. They need some of my time. They need someone to talk to. Guess what? Whether I feel like it or not, spiritually I need to step up to the plate. I need to make myself available as a part of that body. Not what the body can do for me, but what I can do for the body. Let's keep moving. Let's look at 2 Nephi in the 6th chapter. Verse 89. five, six children. Okay. I said 89. I'm looking at 83, wondering why it doesn't fit. Verse 89 on page 111. It says, O my beloved brethren, turn away from your sins. Shirk off the chains of him that would bind you fast. Speaking of the adversary. Come unto the God who is the rock of your salvation. Prepare your soul for that glorious day when justice shall be administered unto the righteous, even that day of judgment when ye may not shrink with awful fear, that ye may not remember the awful guilt in prefectness and be constrained to exclaim, Holy, holy are thy judgments, O God Almighty. We look at, I'm trying to kind of do physical and spiritual here, because our responsibility to one another is both. It's physical, it's financial, it's spiritual. And how we approach the body, how we view ourself, how we view ourself as a member. We need to view ourselves humbly and service-minded, service-oriented. In these few scriptures here, you know, he says, shake off your sins and get away from that thing that's going to bind you down, the adversary. Sin binds us down. Sin keeps us from doing what we know we should do for the Lord. Out of guilt, out of being consumed, out of being distracted, deceived, sin binds us down. And we need to shake free of those chains and remember you know, where we come from, but look forward to where we're headed, that we might give glory to God and honor and proclaim that. And the point I was wanting to make in these few scriptures is this. Do you look forward to the judgments of God? Or is that a scary thought to you? Some days it's a scary thought to me, I'll be honest with you. But we as believers, those of us that are endeavoring to live righteously, we should look forward. For the day we'll stand before the Lord. If we're living how we're supposed to be, we can look forward to that. You know, oftentimes when we have loved ones pass on, you know, we say, well, they've moved on to the reward. You know, Debbie called me the other day and said her brother Frank had passed away, and I was saddened for the church, but had to be thankful that he's no longer troubled. He's passed through the door that we're here for. The very reason for our existence has been accomplished in his life. I can't be sad for that. Be sad for myself, but I can't be sad for that. I want to read a verse in Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. A verse that's familiar to us. Starting in the first verse. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. This is kind of our plea, you know, this morning, that we begin to view ourselves as God's children, and that we follow him as a child. In other words, obedient. and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And I've read this verse and the verses that come, the next few verses talk about what we shouldn't do. But I really wanted to talk to us today a little bit about when we're thinking about passing down this lineage, this heritage. And as I look out onto you, probably close to half are under 30 years old, maybe more. And I'm looking at Aaron. I don't know if he's under 30 anymore or not. In my mind, you're still under 30, Aaron. But around that age and younger, and that I hope and I pray that when we speak of these things, that we can communicate correctly that it's not about us. It's not about the apostles. It's not about the ministry. It's not about our grandfather was a wonderful man. Even though those things might be true, it's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about your commitment to the church, to the Lord, to the body of Christ. And do we have faith or knowledge or understanding that Christ really did what he said he was? That he was crucified for our sins. And that he rose again. And that he was the perfect example. I want to read a couple of words here again. It says in the second verse, it says, "And walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself as an offering." That he gave himself for us. That has to be a paramount factor in our belief system, in the way that we view the gospel. The center point of that has to be Jesus Christ. Has to be a Jesus Christ that was sacrificed and resurrected for the sins of men. And it has to be more than just nice words or a picture on the wall or something my dad believes, or something my granddad believed, or something so-and-so seen a vision or a dream of. It has to be in my heart. It needs to be in each of our hearts that we're convinced, we're consumed with that. The rest of that verse says, you know, that he for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smell and savor. And I thought about that. That's kind of a strange way of talking about the Lord, a sweet smell and savor. And I was in the woods yesterday wandering around and cutting some posts. And the kind of posts I cut are of the cedar family. And they're, we call them alligator juniper, but it's part of the cedar family. And I can walk by a juniper tree, reach up and grab a branch and just snap, you know, a little dead branch and just snap it off. And you know what the first thing I want to do to that branch is? Smell it. I want to smell it. So you can pass that around and smell it. And for me, you guys may not have the same effect. For me, I've smelt that smell my entire life. I've cut firewood my whole life. I've been around the woods and in the woods my whole life. And so that smell for me isn't just, oh, well, yeah, that's a nice cedar smell. I mean, it's a flood of memories. It's an association. It might be like to some people eating chocolate, you know. There's a whole bunch of stuff associated with that besides just a hunk of wood that I'm smelling. You know, and whenever we think of the Lord being a sweet smell and savor, I looked up the word savor. I thought, what does that really mean? And the dictionary says it's of a good taste or a good odor, a good smell. You know, it's something pleasing. It's something desirable. I can be driving down the road and smell smoke and know if it's alligator juniper burning. I like the smell of alligator juniper smoke as well as the smell of the wood. Okay, I recognize it right off. And this might be kind of a corny association, I don't know, for some of you. But for the Lord, we need to desire it. We need to desire it. I can't help myself walking by some poor alligator juniper tree in the woods without snapping a branch off of it. You know, and smelling it. I can't help myself. And anything associated with the gospel of Christ, anything associated with Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made, we need to be drawn to, like I'm drawn to a juniper tree. We need to be drawn to that, to the association, the brothers and sisters, the activities. We need to be drawn to his work, whether that's helping it financially. Jerry put the door in the men's bathroom back there. Something he could do. Framed it all in, put the frame in, put the door in. Okay, something he could do. He's not a carpenter, but it's something he could do. You know, he was there in support. Whatever it happens to be, men's breakfast, ladies, whatever, you know, that we're in support of it. That we're in support of it, that we're drawn to it. And I'm guilty. I'm not always there. I'm not always where I should be. I'm distracted. But this is the real tone, I guess, of my message for you today. That you're an important factor in the body of Christ. Don't ask the church what it can do for you, the body. But ask what you can do for the body. There's a ton of scriptures that can be related to this kind of topic. But I just want to make sure I get my point across. And as you smell that wood, some of you it's going to mean something too. And some of you it's like, yeah, it smells like a piece of wood, you know. But there's something in your life that's similar to it. And that's my point I'm trying to get across. In the 6th chapter, the 11th verse in the 3rd book of Nephi, I was going to just quote it, but I'll read it real quick, just the one verse. Again, one of my more favorite verses, but a verse that I don't think we dwell enough upon. And it's also in the New Testament in Matthew. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Simple. A simple line. A simple sentence. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added unto you. But yet I have watched over the years many people struggle and say, well, how come the Lord doesn't hear my prayers? How come I want this, I try and do what's right, and yet I don't feel like the Lord, you know, I go help people, I go do this, but yet everybody else gets blessings, but I don't get blessings. A real simple answer to that. The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows your heart, and that's what he wants. He wants your heart. He wants the commitment of your heart. He doesn't want a commitment of your lips. He doesn't want you going through the motions and warming your spot in the pew. He wants you on board. He wants you committed. That you're truly seeking the kingdom first. And I see examples in people's lives that struggled. And I'm going to mention one of them. He's mentioned himself, Adam. We all watched Adam struggle for years. And we watched him take the day that he made changes in his life. And said, forget it. I don't care what everything else happens. I'm going to seek what the Lord wants. And he received blessings for it, you know. And each one of us can recall times in our own life that these kind of things happen. That when we truly seek the Lord, he hears us. But he wants a commitment of your heart. not just your time, not just your money, not just your lip service, a true commitment of your heart. And that includes sacrificing things that you want, things that you want to do, you know, things that may be important to you. He wants a sacrifice. He wants a commitment of your heart. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. I read there in Romans 1 through 3 to start with. It spoke a little bit about that a man should not think more highly of himself than he ought to. A key factor in becoming a true part of the body. You know, if my foot thought more highly of itself than it ought to and it wants to wear itself around on my shoulder all the time, it's going to be hard for me to get around. You know. And sometimes we do. I mean, as men, as mankind, we have a habit of wanting some recognition, wanting a little pat on the back, a little attaboy. We're all guilty. I am guilty. But we need to not think more highly. Be a humble servant. I'm oftentimes drawn to a verse of Scripture. I can't even tell you where it's at. Where Christ said that, you know, the birds had nests and the animals of the field had filled, but the Son of Man hath not place to lay his head. He didn't have a house. The Lord did not own a home. Why? Because he was selfless. He was selfless. I'm not saying we all should go sell our homes. I'm not saying that. But in our desire in life, in our ability to serve one another, we have to forget about ourselves. We have to forget about ourselves. I was going to read a verse of Scripture here. It may have been there in Romans. I just didn't read far enough where it says, you know, that a man shouldn't just think on his own thing, but think on the thing of others. That's what we're called to. King Benjamin said, you know, I'm serving you, serving God when I'm serving you. And so all these things fit together for this this purpose of what can I do for the body of Christ. So when you leave here today, that's the question I want you to ask yourself. What part is going undone in the body because I'm not doing it? What part is not being cared for? Because I'm not doing it. And you younger people, really from the age of these ladies here in the front row, right on up. You're the church of today, not of tomorrow. You have a part. You can wash a dish. You can cook a meal. You can visit the sick. You have a part. Let's fulfill God's will in our life and become and be the part of the body that the Lord would have us to be. Thank you.